to the 200th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Thank you for listening. Well, if you've listened to the episode last week, I was a do not start at the Thrill on the Hill because I had the flu. It's terrible for a doctor to have to admit they got sick, but a little bit run down, a little bit overtrained, a little bit excessive exposure led me to have 4 or 5 days of the flu. I don't think it lasted very long because of the way I do eat. I was pounding down a cocktail of lemon and turmeric and ginger and banana and oranges and eating lots of greens and miso soup with mustard and onions and garlic. And so I do think I came back. I never really had a raspy cold, or it was just these terrible body aches and fevers that lasted for 3 or 4 days that left me unable to run the ultra. But I'm back, back to running. Next race is in Asheville, North Carolina, half marathon and whole marathon mid-March. So I'm starting to ramp back up to get those that training going. I have my registered dietitian, Addie Meinrich, with me here today. We'll tell you about how she ended up getting to Florida to visit, but it's been a whirlwind for you. But first of all, I'd like to congratulate you on winning your age group at the Thrill on the Hill Ultra. So congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was quite the surprise. It was pretty funny, too, for Michael and I. The gal handing out the age group winning medals ran over to me and gave me my medal, and I thought it was just the one that everyone got when they finished. And he's like, no, I think that's something else. And it ended up winning my age group. So that was a happy surprise after all of that. But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and Michael won. He got third place in his age group. So it was a good day for the plant strong crew.
We actually met another vegan athlete out there who had finished around when Michael finished and reversed his hyperlipidemia and had been vegan, I think, for at least a few years at that point, off of all medications. So that was kind of cool to see, you know, the plant strong community represent out there.
Yeah, so that was really, really good. And you guys looked good when he came back in, you know. I mean, they were a little muddy, but weren't walking too bad. And you're back to running now and feeling good?
Yeah. No, actually all toenails intact for you fellow runners out there. You know, that's always an extra plus. but yeah, feeling good. Back to normal, I would say.
And I think you signed up for a half marathon that night?
Yes. So as most of you know now, we are, Nathan and I are moving to Houston, Texas. Nathan is our there, and the little town we'll be living in is Pearland, Texas, and they're having their inaugural half marathon March 23rd. So I'm going to move in the couple weeks before and run that to get acclimated to my new neighborhood.
And, you know, I talked about the sad news that we had with the passing of Kimba. You know, our one of our beloved German Shepherd rescued, and certainly your best friend. But you know, it's as sad as it is to lose a fur friend that's a member of our family. We also, are dedicated to these rescue animals, and it gave us the opportunity to start to look for a new rescue. And, we got a happy phone call while we were in Atlanta.
Yeah. The day, after the Ultra, the Southwest Florida German Shepherd Rescue, where we got Kimba as well as, the other girls we have, Sammy and Gretchen, gave us a call after hearing about Kimba and said they think they had a little boy who was just perfect for us. So we brought home our 70-pound, 10-month-old addition to the Meinrich family, who is now named Hoss after the cowboy in Bonanza, only fitting with Nathan's love for Western movies and our move to Texas. So welcome to the family, Hoss.
And the reason you came to Florida was not only to meet Hoss, but we had the Southwest Florida Veg Fest on Sunday. So I've kind of been on a speaking circuit. Last Tuesday, I was at a Life Care Rehab Center speaking to the community on about plant-based nutrition. And then I went to a large RV park where they have a soup night, and we brought the Vegan Fiesta bean salad or bean soup, and I spoke there. And those were introductory lectures on the you know, just introducing people to what plant-based nutrition was and, you know, the benefits and really defining lifestyle diseases such as high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, cancers, autoimmune diseases. Because again, it's there's such a disconnect in society with nutrition and diseases, especially lifestyle diseases. So it was their first time at hearing it. They were audiences were very kind. They enjoyed the vegan fiesta soup at the RV park. Matter of fact, we brought two large instant pots full of soup, and they we came home without any soup in the container. So that was great, and had a lot of nice questions. And you know, I think it was like most people, you got to hear about this more than once. You know, I know when I read A Diet for a New America, I was convinced that being vegan was the way to go, both for my health and the health of animals and the environment. But most people, it's not that big of a light bulb. It's somewhat of a, you know, you hear it a couple times, you may try it a couple times, and before you can actually pull it off. And you know, I think that for most of the people that I spoke to last week at those two places, it was the first time hearing. At the Life Care Center, there's one of the employees that heard it last year, however, and she joined the membership practice and has had a tremendous success with weight loss and actually reversing her arthritis. So she actually came into the room and gave a little testimonial on how well she's doing. So I think that was really good for people to hear. You know, a lot of what we like to do, and I do these outreach lectures for the community especially, is sometimes just to get people interested in taking the nutrition class. We have three nutrition classes here a week. One is an introductory to plant-based nutrition, where we talk about the basic sciences of lifestyle diseases and define it and do how-to as far as basic cooking, how to get meals on the table in 30 minutes or less. And you know, if I can get people into that class that have some interest when they start to hear more in-depth lectures about the science of plant-based nutrition, they're, you know, again, that will be the second exposure, and they're more likely to catch on and start the transition to plant-based nutrition. So that's kind of the step that we take here locally, is if I can do some community outreach, and then people can take the nutrition class, and then they want more, they end up joining the practice. So, and that's you know, a lot of what happens. But, you know, we had the opportunity then to go to the Veg Fest in Southwest Florida on Sunday, and we took Haas, and we had a tent, and I was a speaker there. And those people, they're there, they're on board. So it's a completely different audience, a much more educated audience for that at that point. But still people, you know, making the transition to a healthy plant-based diet.
And I think there were some people there, too, who were just interested for the first time. But like you said, I do think the majority of people knew what vegan or plant-based was. And I think that's kind of a great atmosphere to be in, too, because, you know, you have the different, you know, ground foundational ways that people become vegan, whether it's environmental or animal advocacy or health. And so you have a nice mixture of all of that at a Veg Fest. But I think that everybody kind of gets blended and educated on the other aspects of being vegan and plant-based. And we can all kind of unite in that way on at those venues. So it was a great day. A lot of different vendors, a lot of health-oriented speakers this year, I thought. And I think, you know, sometimes we can get different sides of the coin. You can kind of have the junk food vegan focus at some of these events or a health focus, but I think that it really is turning to also incorporate more of a health focus at these events after we've done them for a couple of years.
Yeah, and I do think it's really important. I think if you look at staying power of being plant-based, you know, like I said before, you know, maybe people had a health scare and watched Forks Over Knives and they become plant-based, or they start to transition, but it can be very, very difficult for them, and people slip over the years. I think if you go plant-based for your health, but you attend a Veg Fest and you see the other benefits, the benefits to the environment, and learn about the animal cruelty part, I think that really helps people become vegan, because you know, sometimes people are plant-based and they turn a blind eye to if there's eggs in food or there's dairy in foods, particularly pastries and baked goods and things like that. Or if they go out, then they're, you know, maybe they're with other people and they might eat things that aren't vegan or plant-based. So if there's this added feature to it that, hey, you know, I've decided that I really, you know, I can't see why I need to eat animal products at all because of the cruelty associated with factory farming and, you know, these animals that we don't need to sustain us anymore, then I think that helps. And if you start to think about the environment and the greenhouse gases, then it's like, hey, wait a minute, you know, I'm more likely to stay plant-based for myself when I also have this other benefit and I'm actually doing a service to my surrounding community environment and environment.
Yeah, I think it, you know, giving you that purpose beyond yourself, I think is the main point of that.
And they had a certified plant-based diet.org certificate that they gave to vendors that were plant-based oil, salt, and sugar-free. So obviously we got one of those. And but you could tell the people could go to the vendors to buy food, you know, and know that those places were without sugar, oil, and salt. So that was actually really good. I think there were 10 or so of those.
Mm-hmm. And that was the first time we had seen that. So I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. And because we, you know,
we have lots of members that go.
Yeah, and when people are trying to go out and eat and then you run into a bunch of oil or salt or sugary foods, then, you know, that can be disappointing. So it was nice to have, you know, that located on people's tents and booths so that they knew that was okay to eat. We actually brought a cowboy caviar with us and our carrot cake cookies. And so we gave that out to people that wanted to sample those.
Yeah, and those were both a big hit. I think we, right after your talk, ran out of samples within a couple of hours. So it was fantastic. And people were amazed. You know, a lot of folks were coming to the booth, maybe weren't completely, you know, oil-free or salt-free. And after tasting foods for the first time that, you know, we had lots of nice seasonings in that cowboy caviar and a lot of different fruit sources and that carrot cake cookie that sweetened it naturally. And I think it was just a nice opportunity for people to see, hey, this stuff can taste good without the oil and the salt and the sugar, and just give them a little bit of an option to try out for themselves with some recipes that got sent their way.
Yeah, so it was a great day. You know, beautiful weather down here in Florida. I think it was in the mid-80s. So it was a nice way to meet some other people. Eric O'Gray was there from and Jim Loomis from Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Jim gave a talk as well. And it was nice to have people meet Eric because Eric's going to be coming to our conference in March 30th.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a really nice lineup. And kind of talking, you know, earlier about the different audiences, I think we have a mixture of those two at our conference. We definitely have people who, you know, are plant-based, are vegan, who have somewhat of a foundational education on that nutritional side, coming to learn more, coming to learn how to fine-tune what they're already doing. But then we definitely have a lot of people who are not yet plant-based, who are just curious. Maybe someone referred them to the conference. Maybe they're a friend tagging along or family member that isn't all the way on the wagon yet. So I think, you know, it's nice to see that variety at our conference in particular. You know, just a really positive event for wherever you're at to learn more about this way to optimize your health and wellness through plant-based nutrition.
Yeah, so it was a really good event. You know, and I want to, you know, I'd like to chime in as far as, you know, some of the things that happen in our nutrition class, because I think that it's a real-world environment that other people, when they listen to this podcast, they can get ideas because and know that the struggles of everybody. Everybody that comes to our nutrition class is not 100% plant-based. Our level three, I'd say those people are, but level one and level two are a lot of people in transition at various stages, various times in their life of you know, becoming plant-based. But we also have an online membership that we speak to and people in transition. And, you know, we have a members-only website as well as a Facebook, private Facebook group that all our online members can participate in and see what's happening. And they get their own newsletter every month, and they get the recipes that we do in class and hear about things a little bit more. But, you know, some of they are at somewhat of a disadvantage because they don't get to come to class and be right with us. And so they a lot of them listen to the podcast, and I have to give a shout out to, you know, I get some feedback from some of the members, and I had an interesting comment this last week was that I'm, I guess, more empathetic or more forgiving in class or on our online discussions or our phone and Skype discussions than I am on the podcast. And it was funny because this particular person wasn't funny, but it's interesting to hear the feedback that what people hear when I talk about the goals of eating plant-based or eating junk food plant-based or eating out. Because, you know, early on, you know, it was about, you know, we talked a lot in class about how do you go out and eat, how do you travel? And my perception has changed on that over time, in that, you know, it is very, very difficult to go out and eat on a regular basis and achieve your health goals, because you don't have any control. Even if people tell you there's not going to be oil or salt, you're exposed to more calorie-dense foods. And, you know, we work with a lot of chefs locally to hone them in and get them, but it's not completely safe. And certainly when you're someplace where you don't know the chef or it's a chain restaurant, you're really at the mercy of what's going on back in the kitchen and the quality of food. And it is very difficult. And I don't think that certainly with chain restaurants, you can really achieve your goal, you know, to get your cholesterol down, to get your weight down, and eat out very frequently. And, you know, the comment was that, you know, it's like, well, where are you setting the bar as far as, you know, the slips and some of the vegan processed foods, say beyond meat burgers or some of those veggie burgers that are out there. And I, you know, I set the bar really, really high on the podcast. And I talk about that in person as well, too. But I think that, you know, when you're talking one-on-one with someone or you're in a small class, you can assess the person where they are and meet them at that particular spot. But when we're talking to a large audience, when we don't really get any feedback of where you are in your plant-based journey, I can only present to you where I like the ultimate, where I think the healthiest spot is for being plant-based, you know, eating, you know, fresh produce and making your own food and limiting the amount of time that you go out as much as possible and choosing good ingredients. And, you know, this is the, you know, try to present the gold standard. I don't believe in watering things down, thinking that people won't be able to do it or it will scare people away. I don't think about that with nutrition, and I don't think about that with fitness either. We know from studies that there's no standard during which time you don't have to exercise anymore or lift weights anymore. You know, the more fit you can be, the better. And so by saying, oh, well, if you just exercise 10 minutes a day, then that'll be fine, would not be giving people adequate information, and that the more you do, the better things get. So with exercise and nutrition, I want to set the goal or the bar. I want to tell you where the ultimate, you know, the elite nutrition profile, the elite fitness profile is. And then it's up to you to decide where you are and how you're going to work yourself or your plant-based journey or your fitness journey to where you can get to be in your time frame. You know, sometimes we meet people that are just struggling to learn how to cook plant-based. and it's very difficult, or they have a job that they have to travel a tremendous amount. So that's when we tailor people with our online programs, and we get to talk to them specifically so that we can help them where they are now and work their way towards the best that they can be for themselves. You know, I'm not going to the Olympics. I'm not going to run a 2-hour marathon. But I know, but it doesn't keep me from trying to be the fastest marathoner or to cover mileage or to be as strong as I can or to eat as well as I can. Doesn't mean I'll ever be perfect, but I know where I want to get and I strive to get that. And that's what I want to give people so that they know the potential that's out there, and then you have to start where you are.
And I think that's so true, whether, like you said, whether it's nutrition or fitness. And I don't think we want to cheat anybody out of the opportunities that are out there by watering things down. And like you said, that's not meant to put, you know, an extra amount of pressure. It's just to educate on how good you can feel and how great your health and wellness can be. And I don't think that most, you know, people out there really truly even know how good they can actually feel. We have this baseline. And if your baseline all around you is kind of where you're at, then you don't know that you can reach farther. And I think that's what we see a lot with some of our members that maybe struggle a little bit, is the communities that they're in just in their day-to-day, maybe outside of the practice, are at, you know, a baseline level of standard American diet health, you know, for especially 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And if you're just surrounded by that, it's only natural that you think this is how it is supposed to be. So when you come to our office or speak to us on the phone, we are so excited to share the potential that you can have that you may not have even known of yet.
Yeah, and I think it is. You know, we certainly saw, you know, I don't like to stereotype, but, you know, there were certainly different audiences last week when we were at the RV park. You know, the traditional person that winters in Florida at an RV park, it's a lot of potlucks. It's, you know, the social aspect of things is around food. And, you know, we talked about in nutrition class, you know, we make a lot of soups in our nutrition class. And, you know, the soups that they had at the RV park, you know, were high fat, you know, a lot of them had cheese, they had meat in them. So that was one step where it wasn't near as healthy as our plant-based soups. But then they also had these big bowls of shredded cheese and sour cream and Fritos to put on their soup. And so they took a soup that wasn't that healthy to start with and added all this fat and salt on top of it. And so, you know, taking those people and just introducing them to our Fiesta bean soup, it's like, hey, we have a great spicy bean soup that has corn and peppers and salsa and kale and mushrooms. So it's so nutrient dense and it's so flavorful. You don't have to add any of these other things in, and it's really hearty and filling. And, you know, introducing that. So you don't have to give up soup if you're plant-based, and you can have great hearty soup. And they had, of course, they had cornbread on the table, and you could make cornbread. We do a garden cornbread muffin without any oil or, you know, and so there's ways to make these traditional meals much more healthy so that those people can still have their potlucks and their soup nights, but they can be tremendously more healthy. And they were very interested in knowing that, you know, by making some of these changes, they could actually get off of their medications. And you can take it another step further when we looked at the Veg Fest. You know, there were a lot of people that were vegan and they had transitioned to vegan, and not necessarily all junk food, but a tremendous amount of processed food in their diet. And, you know, sometimes people, they do the diet part, but they don't do the exercise part. So even though people tended to be a little leaner at the Veg Fest, there was still a lot of room to incorporate movement and, you know, learn about exercise and fitness and to even step up their game to be, you know, to be better.
And I think it's interesting too with that, with the more processed foods. I think when you're first told about, or even have the idea yourself about becoming vegan, you think you need these foods that are the processed foods. And while they're not only not as healthy as just eating whole foods, you know, as they are grown from the ground, they're more expensive. So I think, you know, also showing people that, hey, you can eat this way. We can make it even healthier one step further. And when you do that, it's even cheaper. So I think that it's just all positive ways along the journey.
One of the things I thought was great was two tents down from us was at Costco's. Mm-hmm. And they were giving away bags of the mandarin oranges and had those all over the place.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
And I saw there were a lot of people walking around eating, you know, the little mandarin oranges. So mm-hmm. I thought that was great. They had the coconuts with the coconut water. Mm-hmm. That was really, really great. There was a fruit bowl place doing fruit and fruit smoothies. So, I mean, there were, a lot of just natural food options were available. We had a great chickpea sandwich with tomatoes and cucumbers and a soy-based or plant-based yogurt on top of that in a pita mm-hmm. was really good. I had a lettuce wrap that was really good. It was nice to see, you know, that people, you know, being exposed to some of these new foods after they've, you know, done the transition foods mm-hmm. of the processed things. I heard someone talking on a podcast, an Ultra podcast. I didn't share this with you, Addie, because sometimes when Addie hears registered dietitians talking about nutrition on some of these things, it makes both of us want to kind of go through the roof. And this was a very accomplished athlete on this podcast that I listened to, but one of the things that actually made me have to ultimately turn it off a little early was her talking that people can get too much fiber. And if anything, you know, if you've listened to Dr. Greger at all, or you've ever taken a look at the fiber content in the standard American diet, nobody gets enough fiber. And fiber is a great thing on many, many frontiers. You know, not only does fiber lower the absorption of cholesterol in people that still eat animal products, fiber is good for, you know, flushing out the colon in traditional ways, but it also feeds your good microbe that decreases the inflammation in your gut, and it feeds your good, you know, it helps you to build an abundance of good microbes, and it ultimately helps to even alter the, you know, we have so much DNA that comes from our micros and turn on genes, bad genes, and off and on, you know, turn on good genes. So that fiber is so important in our diet. In places in the world where they eat 70 grams of fiber a day, you know, are virtually free from any GI disturbances, that which include diverticulitis and diverticulitis and colon cancer and gallbladder disease. I mean, gallbladder disease is completely a Western disease. And, you know, in medical school, it's fat, female, and fertile. You know, I mean, that's, I'm sorry, is the acronym. So white women that are overweight in their 30s are the people that lose their gallbladder because of this high fat diet and low fiber diet. And so I just went through the roof when I heard that.
It's almost as bad, or maybe probably worse, than people making others afraid of eating fruit.
Yeah, I mean, it really, really was up there. And, you know, if you look at, today in class, we looked at fiber. And, you know, if you just take oatmeal with blueberries and a tablespoon of flax or chia seeds versus an egg and a piece of white toast, I mean, there's like a 10-gram fiber distance, you know, difference in that. Or if you look at a burger and French fries, you know, a lot of French fries, not only are they all in grease, but there's really no potato in there, just some potato powder or whatever. So you might get a gram of fiber in one of those lunches as opposed to a big kale salad with potatoes and sunflower seeds and quinoa.
Or even our
quinoa.
Beet burger and potato wedges.
Right. So, I mean, you know, when you look at people's diet, especially a standard American diet, or even look at a processed vegan diet, they're not getting very much fiber in that diet. So I just don't think that if you looked at a standard community, you have to worry about people getting too much fiber. And in the ultra community and running, I mean, people are worried about fiber and getting GI disturbances before they run. And I got to tell you, the last time I had a GI problem during a race was when I ate dairy about 10 years ago, you know, or longer than that now, in the 1990s, you know. So that's, you know, that's not something to be fearful of at all, as far as if you're training to be athletic. The night before the ultra that you and Michael ran, we had a big salad. We end up having miso soup. I made some miso soup with garlic and onions, mushrooms, and mushrooms
and rice.
And rice, you know.
Beet tops,
beet greens, you know. I mean, that was your pre-race meal. You know, we had, you know, greens every day, lots of fruit. So, you know, don't be worried as far as if you're an athlete that you need to be fearful. You know, a fiber before a race, that's not going to cause you the problem. It's going to be the dairy and the GI distress from oils.
The heavy foods
are going to give you a problem.
And inflammatory foods, which is going, you know, if you're going into a big event, a race like that as well, you know, you really want to boost yourself on the front end with anti-inflammatory foods, because what you eat before as well as right after affects your recovery. So if you're eating junk before, you know, high fat processed flour foods that are pro-inflammatory, and then afterwards, you know, unfortunately at the finish line of this ultra, they were handing out a whole box cheese pizza to every single finisher. We obviously passed on that, grabbed a bananas, hit the road to go home and get something better. But if you're then on the back end of a race or an event adding inflammatory foods in, your recovery is going to be you know, decreased, and it's going to take much longer to repair those damaged muscle fibers from your event. So, you know, really, I mean, it was my first ultra, so I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I was hurting pretty good that night and the day after, but after that, I felt great. I really pushed the fruit and the greens and my omega-3s to, you know, increase my anti-inflammatory intake and hydration, and I felt fantastic.
Yep. So, I mean, I think that it's really important to hear that. I also heard an interview with Ryan Hall, who is without a doubt probably the best American marathoner we've had in some time. He's now retired. His wife is actually trying to qualify for the Olympics, but you know, he had actually talked about experimenting with you know, a keto type diet. Like people say that, you know, you can burn more fat and, you know, you don't rely on much as carbohydrates, and his running was terrible. You know, he said, you know, cause he realized that, you know, your body runs on glucose, and when you're out there, you need a good source of glucose that you can absorb. And if you want your body to be efficient and burn some fat, then you have to train your body with exercise so that your heart rate comes down, and the lower your heart rate is, the more fat you'll actually burn. And we all have our adequate stores of fat, but you're always going to need that glucose to keep the fire stoked. So to think that you can just eat fat and have a good athletic performance is not good at all. And of course, with that fat comes high protein, which comes more trouble with the kidneys and inflammation there. So, you know, if you're going to do an athletic event, one, you want your training such that your heart rate becomes low because you're you're well trained. But you also want to have an adequate source of glucose that you take in, and decrease the oils and inflammation. You know, there's nothing, we know from studies that your blood vessels constrict up to 4 to 6 hours when you have a source of oil. Whether that's olive oil, coconut oil, or chicken or sausage egg McMuffin, the same thing happens. So if you're trying to get blood flow to your muscles and you cause vasoconstriction, you're only going to have a problem. I had a question today from a new member that was worried about it being too late. He was not quite 50, has a terrible family history. Both of his parents, I believe, have passed away, and worried that his health might be too far gone to change things. Actually, two patients today. One had had a bypass, and whether or not you could turn the clock back now. And, you know, it's not too late at any age to make things better. By, you know, the one person, you know, was lucky enough that he'd had his bypass and his heart function was still preserved. But again, if you have blockages one place, you probably have blockages other places. So now it becomes, okay, how do we tackle those blockages other places, whether it's to the legs or to the head or to the kidneys? So by eating healthy, then you start to let your body heal and let all those all your blood vessels heal wherever they are, and, you know, and decrease the inflammation in your body. By decreasing your weight, you're decreasing your risk of cancer, decreasing your risk of diabetes, decreasing your risk of inflammation. So it's never too late. And this past week, we actually had a 91-year-old person join our nutrition class and the practice so that he could keep his active lifestyle. He's still driving. He has the desire to still continue to play tennis. And we had the kale salad with sweet potatoes and quinoa, and he loved it. And he was so much in looking forward to eating this way. And you know, he cooks for himself. And so there's no age that you cannot benefit from changing your nutrition and stepping up the color on your plate, stepping up the fiber in your diet.
Yeah, I think it kind of, you know, ties back to what we were saying before, you know, being presented with the ideas that there's better opportunity for your health and wellness out there and that you just have to go for it and set the bar a little bit higher for yourself. And, you know, none of this will hurt. What's great about what we promote within the practice, you know, is there aren't the scary side effects that you see on the, you know, pharmaceutical company commercials. You know, there's only good things to come to eating and living this way and finding out, you know, how far you can get along this optimal health and wellness journey.
And, you know, we have people that struggle and, you know, maybe fall off for a little bit or, you know, it's amazing. We have someone with diabetes that has been vegan and has not got off the vegan trail, but gained a tremendous amount eating vegan junk food and vegan sweets and diabetes being out of control. And just by going back to whole foods and making her diet simplified, she's dropped her glucose 70 points in a week. And, you know, it's amazing with just, you know, people don't realize just how much oil and simple sugars they get into, regardless of whether you're vegan or eating a standard American diet. But just making some really simple changes, you can see tremendous benefits. So, I mean, we want to continue to promote that. We want to set the bar high. Mm-hmm. But we also, you know, would enjoy the opportunity to meet any of you that would like some individual to us to meet you where you are and to help you achieve some of your goals. You know, we don't believe in doctor bashing or bashing of any in any content. We really want to, you know, accentuate the positives, I guess I should say, about everything. And I think, you know, a positive approach to all of this of just how good things can be is really the message that we like to get to people and to understand the relationships with food and their health and the message of hope that all of this can be reversed through eating a very good, tasty, colorful plant-based diet.
And the community that surrounds it. When you start having this, you know, positive awareness about health, you start meeting other like-minded individuals who know about this, but then you also might share it, you know, pay it forward a little bit with somebody else. And I just think, you know, we have a lot of negativity in this world sometimes, and it's, you know, it's easy to get hooked on it. But once you get a little taste of the positivity and once you start passing it on to others, it just continues to grow.
So I think that's a good way to stop for this evening. Please go see Addie's Instagram, Naturally Rooted
Nutrition.
And please go over to drdelaney.com, drdelaney.com, and check out the website, check out what our programs are. But most importantly, if you love to come and spend the day with us, click on that button, eventbrite.com, and get your ticket for our fourth annual nutrition conference. Eric O'Gray will be there. Alan Goldhammer will be there. Will be there. Cooking demos. Very positive day. Great food. Love to meet you. If you want to come in the day before, we're doing some limited number of private consultations, so you could meet us for a consult and let us meet you where you are. But we'd love to see you. If you have any questions, you can email Addie@DrDelaney.com. It's A-D-D-I-E. Or you can email me at Jamie@DrDelaney.com. And we look forward to hearing from you. We'd love to see you. And certainly email us with any questions.
Have a great plant strong day.
Great. Take care.